Hi, welcome everyone. Thanks for being here. I'm Siobhan Sarna. I am founder of SIBO SOS and Chronic Condition Rescue. And we're live with people from all over the world joining us right now. Thank you so much. And shout out to our Facebook group. If you're not in that, we'll post a link. You all can join us there with 26,000 other SIBO savvy folks. And we have a very special situation right now. Kiran Krishnan is joining us live and in person, and he is the co-founder of Microbiome Labs. Microbiome Labs, famous for Megaspore probiotics, famous for really interesting, different, not found out in the marketplace, niche, but important solutions like H. pylori and sleep and stress. These are all probiotics that they've done clinicals on to show how it works. Skin, okay, if you have skin issues. Vitamin D and K2, you have to know about this, guys, because if your vitamin D3 is not with K2, it could be clogging up your veins. So I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to let him talk. And he's going to be talking about the pediatric microbiome, which, you know, we all know about. You know, if you have a cesarean section, your child didn't get the benefit of the vaginal birth bacterial microbiome blessing. And it doesn't mean you're destined for having a lousy microbiome. It just means you got that extra head start. And so I'm really glad that he has created a Megaspore gummy. Hello, thank you. And it's also for those of us who are really not into taking another pill, and those of us who are very, very sensitive. So with that being said, we also have for the next, I don't know, like 9 hours, 11 hours, depending on when you're watching this, midnight Eastern on the 17th of April, the 25% coupon for Microbiome Labs does go away and will never be back. And we can still offer you a very generous 15%, but I need to let you know that is never happening again. Starting tonight at midnight, it is over. So thank you, Kiran, for all of the blessings. Thank you. Thank you for all your hard work and for the generous, generous coupon that you give our community exclusively.
Well, you are very welcome. And thank you for having me. As usual, it's always really important for me to be able to share information, knowledge, and get people empowered so they can affect their own health in a very positive way, right? So yeah, we can jump in.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so we want to talk about the pediatric microbiome.
I would like to.
Yeah, so, you know, your microbiome, of course, is your really, really important ecosystem that supports numerous body functions for the rest of your life. And in fact, the microbiome and a dysfunctional microbiome is really the cause of, or the source of, numerous chronic conditions. I'd say the vast majority of chronic conditions can be tied back to some area of dysfunction within the microbiome. And the building of this ecosystem starts when you in utero, in fact. And then, of course, the biggest step is during the birthing process. And then from then on, it's getting modulated through several different mechanisms, which we'll hone in on, right? So in utero itself, there's some interesting mechanisms by which moms immune cells, like dendritic cells, will reach across her gut lining and grab certain beneficial bacteria, take it across the lining of the gut into the blood, and deposit it into the womb through the cord blood, which is absolutely fascinating when you think about that kind of relationship, right? Where mom's immune cells know which microbes are good and which microbes the baby needs to be exposed to. There's another phenomenon of certain microbes. This is actually the type of microbe that's found in our Zen Biome product for mood and stress management, right? These are bifidobacteria species that have an exopolysaccharide covering on them, meaning they have like this really complex carbohydrate structure. And then within them, they have peptidoglycan, which is another type of carbohydrate structure. And so this exopolysaccharide covering allows it to be recognized by dendritic cells as a beneficial, important microbe. The dendritic cells reaches across the gut lining, brings it to this side where the blood is, will digest the bacteria inside the dendritic cell. It'll digest the bacteria, isolate and bring out those carbohydrates like the peptidoglycan, and then release the peptidoglycan into the blood supply. So then the peptidoglycan will make its way to the placenta, where the placenta has receptors and then carriers to grab onto the peptidoglycan and take it to the baby's brain. And the baby's brain has receptors for these bacterial peptidoglycan. And what happens when the peptidoglycan binds the receptors in the baby's brain? It initiates the development of the brain, right? So arguably one of the most important things we want to happen to our babies, which is the development of their brains, we've outsourced to a bacterial byproduct in mom's gut, right? It's absolutely fascinating when you think about it. And so, you know, from that point on, microbes are critically important to your overall development, right? So then, of course, the birthing process, if you're lucky enough to be vaginal born, you got a huge inoculum of mom's microbes from the vaginal canal, but then also through defecation. Most women will defecate to a certain degree during birthing. And that's a good thing because you get a lot of these good anaerobic bifidobacteria in the stool. And then, of course, all the skin-to-skin contact and close contact with mom, dad, and close family members in the first, you know, few days. C-section babies who miss the birthing canal actually start off with having larger numbers of microbes that mimic the people in the room, the and surfaces on the room, like Streptococcus and so on, right? So those tend to be the early colonizers, which can set off the microbiome in a dysfunctional mode right off the bat. And then there's lots of things that you need to do to recover from that. Now, in the first about 2.5 years, the microbiome can be highly volatile. It's trying to establish its basic ecosystem. There's a lot of competitive forces occurring inside there with all of these microbes kind of battling for space and resources and so on. The diet of the child is changing quite a bit, going from breast milk, which has a lot of oligosaccharides, a lot of prebiotics, a lot of microbes, to solid foods, many of which may be devoid of microbes, have really high fiber and things like that, you know, which is good for the baby. But all of those changes over time, over the next 2 years, will shape what the microbiome looks like. Typically by around year three, you have what looks like your adult microbiome. And then that still has a propensity to change up to the next 4 or 5 years, depending on what is occurring, whether it's multiple courses of antibiotics and, you know, where you live, whether you live in urban or rural areas and so on. And then what happens then during that time will have an impact on your life forever, right? Do you develop obesity easily? Do you develop autoimmune conditions easily? Do you have asthma, allergies, other sensitivities? All of these things are pre-written in that first, you know, 4 or 5 years of microbiome development. So it becomes really important to start thinking about our kids' microbiomes early on. I know my kids were taking our spore-based probiotics from when they were about 3 weeks old onwards, right? So just little specks of powder in there or on the nipple before they nurse. That was especially important because they were both born C-section because they were breech. So they couldn't be delivered like normal. And so I knew right off the bat, I got to overcome some dysfunction, right? So unfortunately, it's been great. They don't have any discernible issues with the microbiome or metabolic health or digestion or allergies or any of that stuff. So fortunately, it did help paying attention to the microbiome. So it comes down to spores and what good are spores in kids, right? What do they actually do? So we largely focus on the spores and leaky gut because that's really... We designed it, we did a lot of the clinicals and all that around leaky gut. Now, early on, your gut is inevitably leaky, but that's okay. That's a feature of being 3, 4, 5 years old, right? And that's not the real target for the spores. There are studies that show that early interaction of the infant's and the child's microbiome with Bacillus endospores helps build all of the mucosal tissue that's in the gut, including all of the surface that becomes immune tissue in the gut, right? So, and that makes a lot of sense because if you think about one of the most important features or characteristics that a lot of babies have, and they still have it today, and not all, a lot of babies, all babies have it today still, is they sample their environment with their mouth, right? Mm-hmm. It's a weird behavior for a human in general because we don't sample things with our mouth, right? If somebody hands you something cool and new, you don't go, oh, let me look at this. Put it in your mouth to figure out what it is, right? We are visual, we're tactile. And after a certain age, that whole behavior goes away for most people. Some people still have this like fixation But that's a different topic, right? But sampling the environment with your mouth is incredibly important, because if you imagine an ancestral baby that's born and laid down on a small stack of hay or on the dirt even, that baby is picking up rocks and dirt and even dried fecal matter from animals and so on, putting all of those things in their mouth, right? And that behavior is ingrained in us because it becomes critical to experience the environment through your oral cavity and get all those microbes in there. They play a couple different roles. Some of those microbes will make their way in and start eating up the oxygen that's in the baby's gut, which is great, because what you want to do is create an anaerobic environment in the gut, right? So then bifidobacteria and some of the other anaerobes will start to take over. So some of those microbes early on are called facultative, meaning they can live in an oxygen or non-oxygen environment, and they'll start eating up the oxygen, creating that healthy anaerobic condition. The other part of it is it stimulates the development of tissue. And so that's what I'm referring to, studies where exposure to bacillus spores has shown to be able to stimulate the development of mucosal tissue, which is incredibly important. So when we think about getting the spores into the three-year-old, four-year-old, five-year-old, and so on, it's in part to try to stimulate some of that development in the gut, and then also to start competing, creating competition within the gut microbiome against potentially, less beneficial microbes that may be getting in there, right? So all of that is to say that we've really focused on delivering the spores in a very usable format. And the gummy is the easiest format for vast majority of kids, but it wasn't easy. You don't just put a probiotic in a gummy, right? There's lots of steps to it. Number one, figure out, does a probiotic even survive through the process of gummying? Number two, if it does survive through the process of gummying, does it actually come out of the gummy matrix when you digest the gummy, mm-hmm. right? Because gummies are a carbohydrate matrix. That's pretty tough. That's why they're that gelatin-like structure, although we don't use gelatin, we use a vegetable gel, but it's a tough structure. So are the spores going to remain stuck in there, not actually come out of the structure? How long is the stability and all of those things? So it took us a couple years to develop it, but now we finally did. And the fun stat about it, it's the number one product launch in history, right? In the first Fantastic. 3 days of launching that product, we met the first month projected volume in the first 3 days. So that's it was super fantastic. Exciting, right? It's yeah. the need and the demand and the fact that people have been waiting for this. And then here's what we found out. So we launched it first as a 45 gummy bottle, right? And each gummy represents about a capsule of Megaspore. So you know the full Megaspore dose, for you that know it, is 60 caps. It's in a bottle. It's 2 caps per day is the full adult dose, right? So most kids, we've always recommended 1 capsule a day as prophylactic, just management, you know, when things are relatively good, that's a good dose. So we said, okay, kids would be taking 1 gummy per day. And then we gave 15 extra just in case there's a issue and the kid needs to take more, whether it's something's going around school or they're traveling or whatever the reason, right? So that's why there's 45. Then we come to find out that maybe half of the gummies being bought are being bought by adults because they also prefer that experience than capsules, right? So then we decided, okay, moving forward, sometime in the next batch, I think probably 2 months from now, we're going to have actually 2 products, one with 30 caps or 30 gummies, which is the kids, 1 a day, and then one with 60, which is actually the adults, 2 a day. So adults, you have all, permission to use the gummies instead of capsules at this point, because it's going to have the same dose, same efficacy, just better experience.
That is fantastic. Hey, Karen, let's say someone's here for the first time. They don't know anything about spore probiotics. Yeah. Can you just give us a beginner's mind primer on why the spore probiotics are so important and so popular and so widely suggested and recommended by so many practitioners?
Yeah, and in fact, the spore, Megaspore, we're the first spore-based probiotic on the marketplace, right? Launched in 2013. In fact, there wasn't a category of spore-based probiotics before us, right? It was actually present in the pharmaceutical industry in Europe and Asia and Latin America since 1952. There's a drug called Entrogermina that was launched by Sanofi Aventis in Europe in 1952 to treat bowel infections with the spore-based probiotic. That product is still on the market today and still pretty widely used, right? So it's been around for well over 60 years. So we looked at that data, we looked at spore-based probiotics use in other areas like veterinary medicine and all that, and it became quite clear to us that spores have a very unique functionality in the gut. Remember that, in nature, we're supposed to encounter these spores in the environment, right? And some of them, not all of the spores, some of them have developed the capability of not only surviving through the gastric system because they can cover themselves in this protein calcified armor-like coating, right? So going through the stomach acid, they're perfectly fine. Bile salts are perfectly fine. They get into the small intestine and then they come out of the spore form and they're a functioning probiotic cell for you in the gut. Now, what's interesting is we're normally supposed to come into contact with these microbes a ton in the outside environment because we used to eat dirt and we used to drink water out of rivers and streams. So we'd get huge doses of the spores. So we developed this beautiful symbiotic relationship with them where we offer them a home. So our immune system recognizes them as self. It doesn't elicit any sort of inflammatory immune response or anything. And we've tested that, especially certain species. You have to be careful. You have to make sure you're testing all the species. And then once in the gut, they do a number of functions for us that are critically important to the management of the microbiome and the management of the lining of your gut. And that's the intestinal epithelium, right? So they compete with problematic microbes. They help grow the beneficial microbes. They also seal up the lining of the gut. They improve motility. They produce a number of products like digestive enzymes and short chain fatty acids. So they're really like the gut police. They're really like the reformers of the gut, if you will. And we outsource many of those functions to these microbes because nature had probably assumed that we would be in contact with the outside environment constantly, right? Of course, we've now divorced ourselves from the natural environments through being in buildings and cars and all that 98% of the time, right? So that's the importance and the utility of the spores. They're incredibly powerful at kind of reforming the gut microbiome. We've published about 12 papers, I think, on Megaspore. And Megaspore is actually the only spore-based probiotic that has any clinical research behind it, which I think is incredibly important. You shouldn't take a probiotic that doesn't have clinical research behind it, because if not, you don't really know what it's doing in the system.
Right. Okay, so I just placed an order for my two bottles, and I just saved over $10. So thank you very much. Okay. I appreciate it. So here's the thing, no matter what you want to shop for Microbiome Labs, today is the day. You get the 25% off. This is not happening again. It expires tonight at midnight Eastern time. For those of you who are watching the replay and you're like, darn it, what? Don't worry, you can still get 15% off and look for some of the text surrounding this video because the coupon code will be there for you. So, but right now, if you're in live in the chat, and maybe Clarissa, you can see if you can post it in, or maybe Pauline's doing it in the Facebook group for today. It's No More Bloat 25, and the patient code is SIBOSOS. Karen has been a fellow mission maniac with me longer than I have been. And when I met him back in 2016-17, I was just instantly enamored with him as a person and his mission. And he's been very generous to my community ever since and will continues to be. So it's a very special occasion. This is in honor of you, our community, and in honor of this launch. We wanted as many people to try this as possible. And we know it adds up, right? Mm-hmm. So now's the time to stock up for sure. And Karen, when someone has, I've got a couple of questions for you. So Curtis is saying his daughter was necessarily born C-section in 1990. And I'm sure it's comforting for Curtis to hear that your kids were also C-sections and are doing great. His daughter developed Hashimoto's by age 18. How to create and maintain a healthy microbiome throughout her body and hopefully help to normalize her immune function. So spores are obviously a great start. Any other comments on that?
Yeah, you know, in general, we can give you general ideas behind what are things that are healthy for the microbiome, right? So for your daughter's specific case, of course, work with a health professional before you do anything drastic. But in general, what would be good for the microbiome in all these cases like Hashimoto's and so on that are associated with having a dysfunctional microbiome? It's to increase the diversity of the microbiome, increase the keystone species, right? Have a solution for the leakiness in the gut, and then also improve exposure to the outside, to the natural world, right? So how do you do some of these things? So improving the diversity of the microbiome can be done through a few different methods. And I would suggest doing a lot of these things together because they're all part of the puzzle piece, right? So number one is having an improved diversity of your diet. The more diverse your diet is, the more diverse your microbiome is. And that's just what all the data supports, right? So we can't work around that. So if she can introduce new foods, new types of roots and tubers and vegetables and fruits, and even new types of protein sources, all of that will be beneficial, even if it's just introducing one new thing a month, right? You don't have to make it too difficult. You don't have to be too overwhelmed by it, but just introduce something new to the diet on a regular basis. Number two is intermittent fasting, if she can do it. She has Hashimoto's, so she has hormone imbalances. It's something she would want to work with her doctor on and figure out what is possible, because intermittent fasting can also increase the diversity of the microbiome. Number three is to increase things like polyphenol intake. Polyphenols are actually really effective prebiotics for certain classes of bacteria that are called keystone species. These are the really important microbes that build and balance out the rest of the microbiome. So polyphenols come from colored fruits and vegetables, right? So, and especially if you look at like polyphenols from berries, from blackberries, from grapes, from raspberries, these are very powerful polyphenols for the gut microbiome. So those are some things. And of course, the spore-based probiotics can be extremely helpful. In this case, a prebiotic. So we have a product called MegaPre, which is made up of oligosaccharides, which are really powerful at increasing the keystone species and increasing diversity as well. And of course, like I mentioned earlier, the spores deal with the leakiness in the gut, right? So these are just some of the things. Getting outside will be also useful. Being out in a natural environment, you know, 2 to 3 times a week for 20, 30 minutes at a time, whether it's hikes or the beach or whatever is a natural environment near you, those things will add up as well. And I'll give you one last thing. It's stress management, right? So stress is probably the biggest driver of leakiness in the gut and chronic low-grade inflammation. So stress management through things like meditation and mindfulness work can help. We do have the Zen Biome product, which is basically a psychobiotic, which is a probiotic strain that works in the gut to modulate brain activity. And we have, I think, about 8 published studies on it showing a significant reduction in the perception of stress and in the cortisol response and inflammatory response from the stress as well. So hopefully all those added together will give you some relief.
I hope so. That's all great advice. I did just share my screen, but I want to do it again because Floris is saying that she doesn't see the spore-based probiotics on your site. And so I just want to share my screen so we can be very literal about this because it can get overwhelming. So if anyone wants a stool test, there's your Biome FX, there's your vaginal health microbiome test. This is, somebody was asking, Floris was asking about for dental health, the enzymatic mouth freshener, brilliant. And then we scroll down here for Mega Pre Squeeze. That's phenomenal for kids. And I love that you have the stick packs now. And this is the Mega Pre you were just talking about, right, Kieran?
Yeah, the capsule form, yeah.
This is my obsession, the MegaQuin D, which has the K2 D3 formula, because I've been taking D3 without K2. And here is the, and I said before, if you don't have the K2, shuttling the D3 to the right place, you're putting your veins at risk, that calcification can happen in your veins. And then here's the Mega Spore Biotic for kids. It's only $21.99. I think it's a great price. And then you're getting the 25% off today. After today, 15% off with our special code using Patient Direct SIBO SOS code, and then the coupon code. So that's what it looks like. But so if that's what you wanted, Floris, for the kids, or if you're sensitive or you wanted to just take your Megaspore that way, here's the Zen Biome he was just talking about. What's the difference between Zen Biome Cope and Zen Biome Sleep? Kieran?
So the both of them have the same probiotic strain in it. In the COPE, we have formulated it with B vitamins. There's two B vitamins, B6 and B12, because they help some of the processes of reducing cortisol response in the body and reducing the impact that stress has on the body. We also have included saffron in it, a very well-studied branded saffron. We know that saffron is overall calming to the sympathetic nervous system. So it pairs really well with the strain. Now the sleep version is formulated with L-theanine, which can be really relaxing and help induce sleep as well. But it's a strain that's really doing the heavy lifting. These are just kind of supportive ingredients. I think the sleep might have lemon balm in it as well.
It does.
Those two products make a big difference. Now, if you're stressed out during the day and you don't sleep well, then you would take one COPE per day during the day sometime, and then one sleep in the evening before bed.
I like it. Okay. And can we sprinkle that in food, yogurt, whatever?
You can. It's better to take that one in capsule format, but if you have to put it on food to deliver it, then that's better than not taking it at all. It's a little less functioning if you mix it in something. Unlike the spores, you can mix it in anything you want. So we prefer that you take it in the capsule, but it's better to take it mixed in something than not take it at all.
Okay. And here's what the Megaspore Biotic looks like on its own. For those of you who are interested in the capsules, this is everything he was just talking about. When you go to the site, you can read more about it, et cetera. So I just wanted to show that to you all and just, you know, make it a little bit easier for you to get exactly what you need. Can you talk a little bit more about Keystone species and strains?
Yeah. So there are, you know, something like 12 or 13 organisms in your gut microbiome that have been identified as Keystone species. Now, the reason why they're called keystone, so if you look at, you know, architecture, anywhere you have an arch that's made out of stones, you have this middle stone called a keystone, right? So the way they build the arches is they build them from both sides, one at a time, right? And then the stability and the management of the arch, the pressures in the arch, all are centered around this middle stone, the keystone that the two sides come into. The keystone diverts the forces equivalently to either side of the arch. So essentially a keystone maintains a structure. And that's the important aspect of the keystone species in the gut microbiota. They not only maintain a healthy population within the gut, they do that by maintaining the environment. For example, reducing the pH, making it more acidic, increasing the production of things like short chain fatty acids, or other compounds that actually feed other beneficial bacteria in the gut. Beyond that, they also are directly feeding the host with lots of compounds like short chain fatty acids, again, like urolithins and so on. So when you reduce or you lose keystone species, that is inversely correlated with disease risk, chronic disease risk, right? Lots of studies show that when you have lower keystone species, you have an increase in chronic disease risk. And in fact, when you bring back keystone species, the risk of the chronic illnesses go down. So it's a very powerful concept in terms of, you know, modulating the microbiota for better overall health. Going after the keystone species is an easy way to do it. And the spores themselves help do that. We've shown that in a published study. And then when you add the spores and the prebiotic, it really enhances the effect of that to grow the keystone species.
Wow. Okay. I always think of keystones also like gatekeepers to help sort of manage the neighborhood that is the microbiome.
Right.
We have Joanne asking, she's saying, my grandson is 3.5. Should my daughter wait to start him on gummies? Normal weight. The bottle says don't start until age 4.
It should say age 3 and above. And I think maybe the next iteration will say 3 and above. Okay. And the only reason for any age restriction at all is because of choking hazard, right?
Ah.
Because below 3,
yeah.
And in fact, there is some standard criteria out there in like consumer safety where there are certain types of formats you can't recommend for below 3, like lozenges and things like that, because you can't trust that they're necessarily going to chew it or suck on it or whatever it is in a non-dangerous way, right? But, you know, my three-year-old, when they were three, they're not three anymore, but we would give them gummies and things like that. They'd be perfectly fine, right? I wouldn't give a one-year-old gummy, of course, or maybe even a two-year-old, depending on your two-year-old, but it's all because of that. So that's your judgment to make. If you feel your three-year-old is fine in terms of being able to chew on things and they eat gummies and other confectionery formats anyway, then you should be in good shape, right? But that's your judgment. It has nothing to do with the dosing, concentration, okay, any of that stuff.
Okay, good clarification. And Carlos saying, if you have low cortisol, is it okay to take? That's really a medical question, Carla, and this is not medical advice. But Kieran, what are your thoughts about cortisol and the Zen Cope, Zen Sleep?
Yeah. So now keep in mind that the Zen Cope and Sleep don't just go in and start lowering cortisol, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the cortisol curve in response to a stressor, right? So you might have fluctuating cortisol throughout the day. A lot of us wake up with elevated cortisol. That's actually part of the waking up process, which is important. And then throughout the day, it changes. So there's a dip in it in late morning, and then you start to see an elevation of cortisol in the late afternoon and so on. And it follows your blood pressure up and down to a certain degree as well, or your blood pressure follows the cortisol response as well. So we're not talking about daily cortisol response. We're talking about if we put you through a study, right, where without taking the Zen Biome, we give you a stressor, something that we know is going to cause stress or an HPA activation, and we measure your cortisol curve, which is a direct driver of how much inflammation, how the perception of the intensity of the perception of the stress is, and so on. If we measure that cortisol curve, and then we gave you the probiotic for 30 days and did the same exact test, what you would see is a blunted cortisol curve. That means that stressor was no longer as intense for you. It was easier to deal with. It was a little bit of a stress, but it went away quicker. The cortisol levels dropped back to baseline, back to normal faster. And that's the important component to it, right? It's not just going and lowering cortisol. And it's not doing it by interfering with cortisol in any way. What it's doing actually is stopping a phenomenon that occurs when you have an unhealthy gut and you experience a stressor. Basically, what happens in short is when you have an unhealthy gut and you experience a stressor, cortisol goes up and some of that cortisol gets dumped into the gut. And the reason it gets dumped into the gut is because it's supposed to be metabolized by certain bacteria, and the metabolic byproducts of that are sent to the kidneys, where you get an opening of sodium and potassium pumps. That's to bring more fluid into circulation to increase blood pressure. Because when you're going through a stressor, you're in the flight or fight response, and your body's trying to increase perfusion or blood flow to all different parts of your body, especially your brain and your heart. And so cortisol, when it dumps in the gut, if you have a healthy gut, it just gets metabolized and then gets sent to the kidneys. But if you have an unhealthy gut and you're missing certain organisms like the Bifidobacterium longum 1714 that we have in Zen Biome, it'll create hyperpermeability in the gut very quickly, within seconds. Wow. And that hyperpermeability will shoot up inflammatory cytokines called IL-6. Inflammatory cytokines will reactivate the HPA axis, causing more cortisol release, right? So the ability to bring down the cortisol response during a stressor is all due to the fact that it's modulating what happens to cortisol in the gut. And it's reducing or stopping that massive inflammatory response that stress and cortisol has on your system. So if you have low cortisol, you should be okay. But again, for your condition and all that, you know, please talk to your doctor about it and, you know, think through it with your healthcare practitioner. But this doesn't just go in and knock down cortisol.
Don't you love the way Kieran explains everything? I know it's a lot fast, but you are going to all be receiving the replay. And Kieran, what I find is when you explain things, I tend to be a lot more compliant because I'm like, oh, this is why I'm taking this. This makes so much more connect the dot sense. Yeah. So if you have any questions, do put them in the Q&A box. Rachel's asking, not the chat. Okay, come on over to the Q&A. Rachel's asking, do you have to titrate this for kids to prevent die-off?
You don't get die-off with Zen Biome, no. But if you're talking about the spores,
I mean, it's a spore, she's asking.
In the gummy, no, kids rarely ever see or experience a die-off, especially 3, 4, 5, 7, 8 year olds, right? My kids, as I mentioned, been taking what would be equivalent to about a quarter of a capsule from week two or three onwards up to about 6 months. From 6 months onwards, they were taking a full capsule every single day with no issue with die off or any of that. So kids don't normally experience that. And I think one gummy a day is perfect for them.
Okay. Can ZenBiome Cope and Sleep be given to teens safely? Again, talk to your practitioners, but you don't have any concerns about that.
No, not at all. There's no concern. You can give it to my 9-year-old takes ZenBiome Cope because she can be a little nutty from time to time. And we need to keep her balanced, right? And, you know, my son, fortunately, is a little more balanced. He's 12. So, you know, but he was not quite the same as her when he was 9 either. So I think it's not age. It's her. It's her personality. It's her, the way she expresses herself and all that. But when she's taking it, she's a lot more calm and the perception of the impact of things is much lower, right? You know, with kids, some people who have kids who are sensitive to things, if you, something changes or something, it can be really alarming to them, right? And so so she's a little bit of a diva, and if plans change and things change, right, she can be a little boisterous about that.
Now, Karen, is she a diva, which there's nothing wrong with, or is she an HSP, a highly sensitive person?
Oh, I think she's actually more leaning to the diva side.
Got it. Got it.
With some slight increased sensitivity.
Got it.
Because she does respond well to taking the ZenBiome, right? So if she's on the ZenBiome consistently, then you just see a much more calm demeanor from her when something goes wrong, right? Like her favorite dress or shirt or pants that she was planning on wearing the next day is still dirty. It's still in the laundry. And then, you know, that might set her off when like kind of like a panic response versus when she's on it consistently, she's a lot more calm about it. And she can just be like, man. You know, and part of the reason is because the ZenBiome, and this is another fascinating part of this product, is the ZenBiome changes brainwave activity, right? So you've got these high and low frequency brainwaves, right? So high frequency brainwaves, for example, are beta waves or gamma waves, right? So these are high frequency, meaning when you're like really intensely working on something, high concentration, you're driving a race car, you're, you know, doing surgery, you're working on the computer, you're coding, whatever it is you're doing that requires a lot of focus and attention, you're in this high frequency brainwave. And if you remain in the high frequency brainwave, when you experience a stressor, the impact of that stressor is far higher, right? Because imagine at that point, what's happening is your brain is honing in on the source of the stress and amplifying the impact, right? The opposite side of that is called the theta wave or the alpha wave. These are low frequency wavelengths. The theta wave is the wave band you're trying to reach through meditation, right? That calmness, that rationalization part of the brain, that vitality center of the brain, the part of the brain that actually negates negative emotions. All of those centers are fired up when you meditate. So if you meditate extensively and you're really good at it, you can tap into the theta wave when you need to. That's what makes you calm and centered, right? And so what we were able to show in our study is individuals that were that we induced social stress on before the supplement, their beta waves and the gamma waves would fire up, and the stress would be so much more intense than taking the probiotic for 30 days. And the next time we introduce them to a similar stress, then their stress levels came down, their perception of stress came down, and their theta wave band and their alpha wave band fired up, which means that the moment they experience a stressor, the brain goes into a calming state rather than let's amplify all this state, right? And the probiotic does this. We're not completely sure of the mechanism by which it does it, but we've published the data. It's super strong. It's published in very high impact journals showing that the probiotic can do this. It's fantastic.
That is very exciting. How about kids with a teen with autism for ZenBiome?
Mm-hmm. If you can get them to take it in the format, you know, I don't know if he or she swallows pills capsules. If you have to mix it in something, that's fine. It's better to do it in capsules, like I mentioned earlier, but if you have to mix it in a soft food of some sort, it's better than not taking it at all. There's no contraindication. There's no reason for us to think that there's an issue with it. We do know that it improves social function, right? That is an outcome that was measured in a couple of the low mood studies. So, you know, we haven't done a study on autism or spectrum disorder specifically, mm-hmm. right? So to be clear on that, but nonetheless, there's no reason to think that it wouldn't be beneficial, at the least safe.
Okay. I'm just, a couple of people are asking that same question. So he's answered that now. 5-year-olds and Zen Cope. Mm-hmm. Yes or no? Totally. Bridget's yeah. asking.
Yep. I would say just, you know, note that the in the Zen Cope is saffron. Now, I'm not aware of saffron having any issue with people of that age. I think everyone can eat saffron pretty safely. I know in India, we use saffron in yeah. virtually everything from when yeah. we're babies onwards, right? So I don't think there's any issue, but just note that saffron is in the product, right? So, but the strain itself, no issue at all with the 5-year-old.
Can we take the Cope and Humming probiotic together? I think she means Spore, Gwen. Can you take the, yes, you can take, is there anything that you can't take together, Karen? That's a better way to ask.
No. And in fact, in the ideal scenario, what you would do is you would take, let's say you're taking the Cope. You would take either the spores with your very first meal of the day, and then you would take the Cope with your second meal or late afternoon, early evening meal. You should separate them. Now, here's why. It's interesting because both the Cope and the probiotic, the spores, interact with dendritic cells and Peyer's patches in the small intestine. That's a good part of both of their functionality. You know, we have a hypothesis, and we don't know this because we haven't tested this together, but we have a hypothesis that if both of them go in at the same time, then they may compete for the attention of your dendritic cells, right? But we don't know that for sure. Just so it's a hypothesis. If that happens to be true, then there is a benefit to separating them by a few hours, right? So not that we've seen any issue with people taking them together. Lots and lots of people take them together. I take them together because I take basically all my supplements at the same time, right? Which I just did, for example, with my first meal of the day, which is lunch. I just take a giant handful of my supplements all at once. There's only a couple of things I take early morning on an empty stomach if I'm using them, or late at night before bed. So I mix it all together and it seems to be fine. But if you can separate it, if you want to get just 110% benefit from it, then maybe try to separate it by a few hours.
Okay. Let's see. Marcia's saying, could you please make Zen Cope gummies next? What are going to be the next gummies you do?
So we're going to do, we have on the docket a D3 K2 for kids in gummies, right? Because for us, getting K2 and D3 in kids is really, really, really important. The dosing for D3 and K2 is quite specific for kids in terms of upper limits. So it'll be based on that dosing and then getting them the gummies. Now, when we do that run, we will likely do the Megaquin D3, this product, I think that you take quite a bit, Siobhan.
I do. I love that.
We'll probably put that in a gummy as well. So that then for you guys for maintenance, I mean, for me, the spores and the K2 and D3 is kind of foundational supplements that I take every day. So then it's about popping 3 gummies and you're good to go for most adults. That's the target. Is the next one is K2 D3. ZenBiome, we are working on a chocolate. And so far we've seen really good stability in, I think it's 80% dark chocolate, 80 or 85% dark chocolate for at least a year. And so that would be a really fun launch, just to be able to give some mood chocolate to people, right? Calming chocolate.
I'm there.
Yeah. So that's the next one we're working on.
Oh, I love how creative you are. Okay. Barb is saying freaking chocolate sold. Okay. Mm-hmm. Marcia is saying my daughter started the Megaspore gummies about a month ago, and we already have seen improvements in regularity of bowel movements and mood. Thank you, Karen, for your awesome products.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. That's so great to hear that.
Thanks, Marcia.
That's exactly what motivates us to keep doing what we're doing. So thanks so much for sharing.
I wanted to ask you if ZenBiome sleep needs to be taken regularly to work, or can it be taken as needed?
If you're taking the Cope, you're already getting some of the benefits from the sleep because you're getting the strain in there, and the strain is downregulating the stress response and upregulating parasympathetic. So it's already preparing you better for sleep. Now, it doesn't mean there are certain days where you have heightened stress, things going on in life that elevates that flight or fight response and makes it harder to sleep, right? So on those days, you can absolutely take it and it'll enhance the sleep functionality. So you can take it as is. I end up taking it every day just because, you know, if I develop a routine, then I'll stick with things, right? If not, I'm bad at sticking with things. So I have the sleep on my nightstand. And it's basically the last thing I do before I go to sleep, right? I come to bed with a big thing of water, and I drink some water before bed. I pop my Zen Biome sleep, and then I go off, laying down and sleeping. So for me, I do it basically every day. I don't think I probably need it every single day, but there's no harm because these are, you know, you're getting L-theanine, which is really good for your system to begin with. And then you're also getting the 1714 strain, which not only helps with sleep and stress and all that, but these are very powerful immune modulators, increasing anti-inflammatory responses in your body and reducing inflammatory responses. So if for nothing else, I take it for the inflammation benefits and the modulatory effects.
For those of you who have tuned in to learn about the pediatric microbiome and you're a little bit late, no worries. We're glad you're here. We will send the replay. He does talk about it a little bit more at the beginning, and we've kind of like gone into some other topics, but the gummies can be taken by an adult as well. And one gummy is about the same caps as a capsule of Megaspore. What about the safety of these products for pregnancy?
Yeah, there's no reason to think that these products aren't safe for pregnancy. In fact, these kind of microbiome related products, especially probiotics, prebiotics and things are especially important in pregnancy, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have to remember that you are going to be passing on your microbiota to your child, and the health success of your child is largely dependent on what kind of microbes you pass on. Right. So there is a degree of a responsibility there to ensure that your system is as healthy as it can be during gestation and then, of course, during birth as well. So the more you can do to maintain that healthiness in the gut, in your immune system and so on, when you're pregnant, the better, I think. Right. And there's no contraindication for pregnancy for any of these.
Karen, what is the story with histamine and the products that you sell?
So, you know, there's this issue of histamine intolerance, and a lot of people are hypersensitive to histamine for numerous reasons, right? So histamine is produced by microbes in the microbiome. Histamine is produced by your own immune cells. Some people can have an overproduction of histamine within their gut. Some people's immune system will put out too much histamine because they're missing other things like indole, for example. So it balances it out by producing more histamine. Basically, the vast majority of probiotics that people have exposed to don't seem to work well for people with histamine intolerance, right? And in fact, can make things worse. Now, here's why that is. In fact, we're getting some really good clues into that on new data that we have. I just presented the data at a conference we had this past weekend. Mm. What we're seeing is that most of the probiotic strains we're testing, these are commonly used strains in the marketplace, are inflammatory in the system. They actually increase inflammation. And the reason for that is because most of these strains aren't recognized as self or part of the commensal by your immune system. So when you take in 10, 15, 20 plus billion of a lot of these strains, what tends to happen is your immune system gets revved up. And when your immune system gets revved up, your innate immune system goes up. And because you already have an imbalance of indole and so on, when your innate immune system gets revved up, it's going to release more histamine, right? So some of these probiotics are likely causing the release of more histamine, maybe from your immune system and your microbiome or one of the two, right? Now the spores are silent. And so is the 1714, the Zen Biome strain. They're silent, meaning that they don't aggravate the immune system the same way, right? They don't increase any inflammatory markers. They, in fact, increase anti-inflammatory markers. And this is a very important distinction with probiotics, right? We're coming to just find this out, that many of the Bifido strains we're testing in the market, some of the Lactobacillus strains we've tested in the market, all of them induce a whole array of responses in the immune system, including inflammatory responses, right? So people who tend to be sensitive and who are dealing with inflammatory conditions, it's probably not the best approach for you to utilize those, right? So that's where the histamine issue comes from for the most part. And then also it brought up a very important message on probiotics, is that unless the company is doing the cellular level work and you know, preclinical work and clinical work, they're not going to know whether the probiotic is silent or not. And that's a question to ask any company that offers a probiotic: is your product silent? Do you have proof of that?
Okay, we're going towards that time where I need to start wrapping it up. And I know you all have been really getting a lot of questions answered, but I wanted to ask, a couple of people ask, could you just clarify Megaspore and Keystone? Megaspore is a Keystone, that kind of thing. Like, right. I think there was some confusion about Keystone, sure. Megaspore, are they the same thing?
Yeah, so there are, as I mentioned, there are probably about 12 organisms that have been identified as Keystone species. Most of these live in the large bowel. They're anaerobic bacteria. You don't really find them outside of the body. So the strains in Megaspore are not considered keystone species. However, they do increase the growth of keystone species, right? So we've published on that, showing that Megaspore, when taken even by itself, even without a prebiotic, can enhance the growth of keystone species. So that's the connection. Megaspore is a really important foundational probiotic, and part of its role in how it helps the host, which is us, is by increasing keystone species.
Gotcha. Okay. Would the probiotics help a six-year-old diagnosed with chronic constipation? Heck yeah. Give it a try.
Yeah,
right?
you gotta get those bowels moving, especially if you've already tried other things. A lot of times it's just the right probiotic that can get things moving, and the spores do improve movement in the bowels. In general, that's what we see from empirical evidence, from what lots of people have reported to us. So I would say there's no harm in trying.
Hey, B, with your PolyGuard product, which is for H. pylori, it says children under the age of 9, please consult your provider. Mm-hmm. This warning always gets my patients nervous when I'm recommending it to children under 9. Is there any cause for concern with younger children, or what is the warning for?
The warning is because we have fewer studies in kids under the age of 9. Although we're doing more studies on kids that are under the age of 9, a lot of our studies were on adults, and then about 40% of the studies were on adults who were on triple therapy already, right? So we concentrated the effect on adults. So now, anytime we do that, when we talk to our regulatory team, they are ultra conservative. So they give us the most conservative approach, which is like, hey, if you don't have a study on a three-year-old, then you can't say that, you know, kids are okay, right? And so they want us to have some sort of data for a three-year-old, four-year-old, five-year-old, six-year-old, seven-year-old, and so on. And we just don't on that product. We have 10 published papers on that product. We have just a tremendous amount of research on it, over 1,000 patients in all of these studies, but we have not done studies on six, seven, eight-year-olds. There's no reason to think there's an issue. It's a postbiotic. It's not even a live microorganism. It's actually dead, but intact cell. And when you drink it, it coats the gut, grabs onto H. pylori, and takes it out. And that's the only thing it does, right? So I'd see there's no issue with using it in kids. Just you can blame highly conservative regulatory departments.
Okay. Let's see. Dana, the answer is yes. Floris, I asked a bunch of your questions, so I didn't get to every question that you asked, but I did ask a ton of them, like more than anyone else, so I have to be fair. And is there anyone whose spore probiotics should not be used for? Are there any precautions there, Kieran? And then we will wrap up. Thanks for being here, everyone. Pop some love in the chat for Kieran.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. The only people that we say are people that are on very broad spectrum or powerful immunosuppressants, especially if they're undergoing, you know, certain types of cancer treatments or organ transplant patients, right? So those are very complicated cases. You're trying not to create any sort of modulation in the immune system. Your doctors are trying to really control, responses in the immune system with medication. So in those cases, I would say, no, check with your doctor, work with them. There may be a reason for not using the product, but outside of that, there's no there's no restrictions. I mean, I think everybody needs spores. We're supposed to be encountering them in nature, and we just simply don't anymore, right? So it's really just about putting them back into the system and then seeing all the wonderful things that occurs when you do that. And it's going back to basics. You know, we thought through it a lot with the science, and we did the science to try to prove that it's safe and its functions and it's efficacious, you know, but it's really based on simplicity. It's really based on going back to basics. You know, how would we encounter microbes in the natural world, and can we mimic that to a certain degree? And what are those microbes? You know, what versions of the microbes are the most important, and so on. So that was a process in which we made those discoveries and brought the product to market. So okay, hopefully that helped answer the question.
All right. Okay. Barb saying, I can never have enough of Kieran. Learn something each and every time you have him on. I can't thank you enough. Siobhan, oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Kieran, for all you do for us, the work you do to bring it to us. Ordering today's Zen Biome, can't wait. Awesome. That's fantastic. It's good to see you, Barb. And what about international shipping, Kieran?
I think we discussed this in one of the last...
we have a lot of new people today. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you're international, you go in, you place an order like anyone in North America, you put in your address. I'm pretty sure we do fulfillment and ship overseas.
Okay.
You know, you'll know right off the bat if the order gets rejected or something, but just put it in, and we do ship to something like 22 other countries. So unless there's some acute problem going on with the customs of that country or something like that, there may be some issue, but I'm not aware of any going on right now.
Okay. And they have a great customer service there as well. Just find it on the site. Kieran, I thank you so much. It's so good to see you as always. Keep up the phenomenal work, and we will look forward to next time. I'll let you go. Thank you, sir. Love you. Thanks, Kieran. Appreciate you. Thanks, everybody, so much for joining us live. And just to reiterate, and if you can find it in the chat today, so right now it's 4 p.m. Eastern time, and I usually like to keep things kind of evergreen and kind of like, well, you know, I don't want to be too specific about the date because someone could be watching this like in the year 2024 or whatever, or in a week. But today, Monday, April 17th, 2023, there is a 25% off coupon, and that expires tonight at midnight Eastern time. So there, we're not doing that again. Like I asked, and he's like, girl, I am already pushing it. I love you. However, like I can't do it again. And I will not ask him again because he's already said no. And I'm not going to be one of those people that's like, oh, come on. Because I kind of already did that. So now is the time. If you want that 25% off, I would stock up. It's very generous of him. And he kind of broke some rules for me. So I really appreciate it. Now, that being said, if you're watching this and you're like, darn it, I missed the 25% off. I hate that. You still don't have to pay full price because he does give us a 15% off coupon. And Clarissa, can you pop that in there? Not to cause any confusion, but just to, it'll be in your emails, everyone. So just to have this in your back pocket. So it's no more bloat 25, but tell me the coupon code again for the 15% off, if you would, Clarissa. And also you have to use patient direct code SIBOSOS. So normally you have to go to a practitioner, a doctor in, or you know, nutritionist, someone like that in order to get access to these products. I remember when I first discovered Megaspore, I wanted to buy some and I couldn't find it. And this was like a little bit for a pre-Amazon and I couldn't find it. And by the way, Amazon is not an authorized dealer of Megaspore. So you can probably find it there. It's just simply not authorized. So there you have that. I'll let you take your own conclusions from that. But in the future, after April 17th, 2023, at midnight Eastern time, as far as I know, there are no guarantees, but as far as I know, you would still use coupon code, you would still use patient direct code, pardon me, SIBOSOS, S-I-B-O-S-O-S, and then the 15% off, which is phenomenal, is no bloat 15. Okay. If you have any questions, you can certainly email us at info@sibosos.com. We are not the customer service for Microbiome Labs. However, if you're just trying to get clarity on the coupons, we can help you out. But if you have a customer issue with Microbiome Labs, we'll just be sending you over there. So just, you might want to, you know, just start there if you have a different kind of a question. With that being said, I thank you all so much for being here. I want to shout out to my Facebook group. Thanks all for watching, streaming live. Thank you all for taking the time to come to this live session. We do have on the books another session with Karen on May 1st. He's again, super special and very devoted to our community. So to have him this much is really a blessing. And then I don't have him again until June. So we're working on it. And then we'll, you know, after that, I'm not sure, but that's what's going on right now. And I want to wrap it up. Clarissa, thanks so much. Thank you all very much for being here. We really appreciate you. And I wish you all the best of health. Okay, take care. Bye.